Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to Shrine Podcasts. I'm Brendan.
I'm Hannah.
I should have said the name of the show. Shrine Podcasts presents The Treasures.
Woohoo! We're back, baby. It's a new year.
I'm Brendan.
I'm Hannah.
And I'm Rebecca. And we're a bit ropey after the Christmas, but sure, look, we're ready to get stuck into a stunning new series.
So excited that The Traitors is back for season two. The obsession with Claudia Winkleman continues to grow. And now she has a new friend in an owl.
Oh my God, I love the owl so much. I literally squealed. And like the way the owl was choreographed.
Oh yeah.
Do you know? I wonder how long.
Guys, when it flew in front of the cars, how stunning was that?
That was the bit for me. I was like, wow. Even the people in the cars were like, oh my God, look at the owl flying in front of us.
So stunning. And guys, the show has gotten even more camp.
Oh, yes. I agree.
Claudia talking directly to the camera as if you are the unknown fourth traitor.
Oh, she is serving. And that owl was giving Hedwig.
It was. I wonder what the owl's name is. Like, I want to call it Claude or some some version of Claudia.
Claude
could work.
We need to find out its name because that owl is a star and it deserves all the fame.
And also, guys, you know, in the opening scene, like they showed all the stunning scenery, you know, the trees, the Scottish Highlands, the castle, the train. There was salmon in a stream.
Yeah, was that CGI?
Oh, I don't know. They were gigantic.
Guys, salmon do that. They swim upstream. That's their whole thing.
I was like, has somebody borrowed footage from a David Attenborough series?
They look like a carp. They were huge.
They were huge.
They were Scotland. Fish.
Guys, not us talking about fish again, large fish again on this podcast. But I think Scotland is just a stunning place.
When did we talk about large fish?
We talked about how if you put a goldfish in a lake,
oh my God, the
that
carp.
They turn Brendan, into a carp.
Sorry, yeah.
For like 45 minutes, we were crying. It was the worst episode we've ever produced.
There have been many.
Well, guys, the cast that they have rounded up this year, very, very good and juicy. A few characters.
So before we'd even seen the show, they'd obviously had the still images out of the different contestants, and I was obsessed with the photo of Sonia. She did like her little finger on her chin, and then when she introduced herself on the show, I was like, yeah, this Sonia is season two for me.
She's a breakout icon. But I feel my little segment for today is to tell you guys about the cast, and there's a few dark horses in there. I'm very excited about the people that they found.
Oh, I'm excited to hear all about that. And I also love that Aubrey has the cat called Luther Vandross.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I love Aubrey. The man's skin is stunning. He's 66. He looks incredible.
Go on, he's on the Isle of Ole.
Sorry, that's a throwback. Is that still out?
I don't know.
Brendan, it's 2024. Go on, he's talking about Isle of Ole.
Oh my God, I completely forgot about that. So guys, I also adored at the start of the episode, right? Because we'll do a brief recap and we'll chat through all the bits that happened last night. I loved the way they lined them all up, and I thought originally, right, I said they're not going to do the same thing as last year,
yeah,
but what I thought they might do was take the two middle people.
Yeah,
I thought it won't be the start, it won't be the person who volunteers to be the winner, and it won't be the person who volunteers to be the loser. I thought they'd do
the
a
middle ground
median and
me and you, Reb, we said let's think outside the box. They're going for the middle.
Yeah. And then she was like, we're not going to do that again. Because last season, in case you haven't seen the first season of The Traitors, they took, was the last two people, and then they were voted off.
The two people that said they would be the weakest. She was like, I'm going to take you at your word. Bye.
Oh my gosh, it was...
Yeah, it was such a brilliant way to start like a show that we'd never seen before. It was so
But I'm on edge now because obviously spoilers for season one, I don't know what you're here if you haven't watched that, go back, but they took those people and they brought them back at a shocking later point.
Yeah,
so I'm on edge now waiting for a mission or a moment where they're going to do that again, because I just think there are twists
on
the way. I
wonder, will they use any of season one's people in a mission in season two? Like when she asked the guards to come in and tie them to the poles yesterday, I was like, oh my god, there's going to be everyone from last year, and it wasn't. Like, I wonder, will they?
Yeah, you'd love if they, because, you know, in the castle, you'd love now if someone pulled a book and then a secret room opened and someone came back via that way, you know? Yeah.
Sorry. Imagine, like, what season of Big Brother was it where they did the Big Brother bed sit and two people got voted out except they never left?
Yeah.
They were just in a bed sit turning everyone's showers cold. Like, I want shit like that. I'm so excited.
And I love as well that already, like, a lot of the rules have, like, changed. Like, even on that first mission in last night's show, Claudia was like, you need to rearrange these things and go and set it on fire. But actually, first, you're going to be tied to a pole and you've got like these three other decisions to make before you start the mission. They're adding even more layers to it.
More layers, games within games.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's interesting to see what you'd actually do in that case. If you were a traitor, would you go for the shield? I feel like your man went for it too soon. I'd be
doing
the traitor.
Yeah, I'd be doing that in the next episode or the one after. I wouldn't go straight to it. You know, that's just me.
It's just risky because you're going to turn people against you, because you need to come across like a team player as well.
Yeah.
But what I love about this show is, and it's other shows annoying me that don't do this, where I'm like, you've had a whole year off, like, let's level up, like, let's change some of the competitions or the structure. Whereas Traders is like, they're going to do that. They're going to change things. We're going to see things we've never seen before. And I think that's so exciting.
Okay, so will we like just kind of, I guess, discuss what happened in last night's first episode? So we obviously met everyone at the train station. They got the lovely train across the viaduct in the Scottish Highlands, arrived at the castle, did the lineup thing. Claudia was like, oh no, of course we're not going to do the same thing. Inside you go. I guess then the round table, I guess, was the first main thing.
Oh,
and it looks, having been so used to, I guess, the end of season one where there's fewer people, they really packed them in, like 22 people around that table. Like, they are,
there's a load of people. Elbow, you forget how many are in it.
Yeah, it's a lot. Yeah. And like, we're not going to get to know most of them. Then she paces around, picks her treasures. I thought she'd pick a different number, but it was three again.
Three again.
But then obviously
it's
the plot
more.
Twist was that those three are going to pick a fourth. So the three treasures that she picked were Paul, Harry and Ash. And like, I don't know about you, but instantly I thought Paul was terrible. He was just like smirking and
beaming
the whole
really
time.
He's really confident about it. He's like, I'm born to be a traitor. So he's 36 business manager. We've got Ash, 45 events coordinator, and Harry, 22 British Army engineer.
And I thought Ash was good to start with. I thought Paul was terrible. Harry might be okay. But I just think instantly at a first look, I don't think these three people are going to be as good at being traitors as season one's lot.
But guys, you know when...
I think they'll surprise you.
True. Do you know when Claudia tipped Harry and the smirk and he licked his lips? But the fact that he obviously made a noise, and like, I'm like, oh my God. Like, I was honestly, when he licked his lips, I was like, oh my God. But he really is into it. I just was like, oh God, you're going to really, you know... You're going to really give it away.
And then
so
Diane,
soon. And
was
Diane
like,
heard him licking. Yeah,
she was
she
like,
heard him.
What noise did you make? And then thankfully for Harry, the guy sitting to the left of him was like, oh no, that was me.
Yeah.
Again. Yeah, what? That was an absolute like
just
godsend.
Total
fluke. That man,
he made a slurping noise when he didn't.
Oh my God.
Now I'm with you guys. I didn't think they were going to do three again. And obviously we now know there's going to be a twist and there'll be four. But I kind of like that they've done a similar number, because I think a lot of the debate among the faithfuls is going to be, how many are we trying to get out here?
Yes.
Like, there could be seven, there could be one. So I think that's kind of like a good like head fuck to start off with.
And I like the added element that they've given us something this year, excuse me, for us to play along with, because normally we see everything and this time we're not seeing everything, and that's fun.
Yeah, it was nice to know, like, so we found out kind
great
of
for the podcast.
You know, there
great
was no
the
one great for the podcast, no one was getting murdered, but that obviously they were going to have to enlist the help of another murderer to go on a killing spree and another traitor, basically.
Do we want to say who we think it is now? Like, who do you think it is?
Yeah, well, let's talk about our options. So there's four of them. We've got either Diane, the retired teacher and new gay icon. We've got Miles. We've got
lovely.
Andrew. Yeah, Andrew, who is very interesting to me. And we've got Sonia, who is a bit of a breakout star.
Another gay icon again, yeah.
Another gay icon. For me, I would be going Miles. I don't know why. I just like his energy. He feels like a leader. And I feel like he would do that dance between traitor and faithful easily. So
yeah.
Just on instinct, that's who I'd be pushing for. I know Harry is going to push for Diane, but I think that's the wrong choice for the wrong reason. What do you guys think?
Diane.
So would I get her out of there.
Because what's going to happen is if they choose Diane, she's going to go from being so suspicious of your man to unfortunately maybe being like, oh no, I think it's this person, and it might look like a gear change and people suspect her. I would probably, if I was them, kill Diane because she was already onto them. And even though I love her, I don't actually, I want Diane to like be, actually I do want her to be a traitor, but I think they're in their heads. And then enlist your right hand, and maybe Miles or Andrew.
I think that, like, when I was watching it last night, I was like, oh, I would absolutely recruit Diane to get her off our backs.
True. Is that too obvious then?
Maybe it is too obvious.
It could expose your young fella too soon.
If you recruit, I think that I would recruit Diane, and I think that they have recruited her because her face in, like, towards the end of the episode, like, after we knew whoever they'd recruited had been told, I think that her face was the one that gave it away the most.
Yeah,
like, I could obviously be completely proven wrong later on tonight, but I think I'd go down. I think they've picked her. The problem could be is that the other traitors, I think your man, is it Paul, the ginger fella? Yeah. I think that he's just really obvious. If I was, say, Harry or Ash or whoever the new traitor is, I'd be getting them in the little lobby. I'd be like, guys, at the round table tonight, let's all club together and fuck your man out, and we'll only three
again.
Oh,
you're such a bitch in that couple, I know, Brendan. I love
like,
it.
I just don't. I think Paul would just rumble you. I'd be like, get rid of him now, and there'll be three of us, and we'll and I'd be like, and we'll share the prize, guys.
Yeah, you'd go Wilfred on it, basically.
Yeah, not. I just think it's so soon to do that.
I just think he's going around like a bloody Cheshire cat.
Well, can we talk about the fact that somebody asked Ash, was she a traitor at the breakfast? And she nearly...
It was Sonia.
She honestly froze. Like, she froze and didn't know what to say. But that's it. I watch the show and I go, oh, I'd be really good traitor next time. I said, if someone asked me at breakfast, I would have froze as well.
The next morning, like, you haven't even had your orange juice and you're getting rattled by Sonia with the knitting.
Sonia was like literally holding like a croissant and then Ash was sitting there like with an orange juice and she was like real easy. She was like, Ash, are you a traitor?
Yeah.
And Ash completely choked and she just kept going, sorry, I can't hear you. When I tell you, Sonia was like 1 foot away from her. There was no way that she couldn't hear her.
No, she went deaf for a moment. But come here, do we think Sonia's a genius or do we think she asked every single person and it's edited or do we think that was luck?
I don't know.
I don't know.
I think Sonia's an icon. That's all I do know.
Guys, I meant to say to you, there was another part of the episode that I was gagged, right? And it was the night that the traitors were finding out who the other traitors were, right? So they had been chosen by Claudia. They all had a drink after. The three traitors all sat down together. And I nearly...
They sat side by side.
I honestly was...
Yeah,
I was
brilliant.
Gasping.
Yeah.
They happened because you know why? They were all exhausted after finding out. And then they all were like, oh my God, I need to sit.
Here's a bench.
I need to sit. And they all needed to sit at the same time.
Yeah, it was brilliant.
Oh my good
God. Very good.
It was one of those moments where I was like, I just couldn't get over that. It was one of my favourite moments from last night's episode.
And I also liked the way that when they were revealing themselves in the traitor's turret for the first time, that they just put two of them in and left them hanging. And then they brought in Ash then, like, you know, like 10 seconds later to be like, oh, there is three.
Yeah.
And them two were so unimpressed by Ash because they were both like, oh, I'm so glad it's you. And then they were so underwhelmed by Ash coming in. But I just think Ash, she could be a little Amanda vibe. I think she's going to last longer than them two Egypt things.
Nice.
Other than choking at the breakfast table, she's definitely doing a better job than the two lads by a mile.
Yeah, they're and also just your man, I need to get equipped with everyone's names, guys, but your man is
Harry.
Harry going for the shield in the first challenge. I just sometimes think if I was a traitor, I think you need to stop being so front and center so soon.
Yeah.
There's 22 of you, hang back a little bit, be everyone's pal, wait a sec, go for the shield in the second or third round. Like, going straight away is like, I don't know.
Yeah, maybe, yeah.
Maybe not. Maybe I'm overthinking it. But that whole shield thing now, that kind of new element to the series is going to cause a few ructions.
Yeah, so last year the shields would protect you from banishment.
But yeah, so if you were chosen to be murdered, you could not go home if you had the shield.
But this time, they protect you from murder. So what I'm wondering is, say if somebody manages to get a shield unbeknownst to everyone. So obviously in last night's episode, we knew that they got the shields, right? Could a situation arise where somebody gets a shield, the traitors don't know they have it, they decide to murder them, think they've killed them, everyone arrives at breakfast the next morning, and the person the traitors think they've murdered is still alive.
Yeah. I think that's what they're going for, yeah. And I think that's why, because they've changed how the shields work and they've made them more obvious. Remember last year you'd go into the room with the boxes.
God, guys, I think can't even wrap my head around it. So basically now, just get me right here. So you win a shield on a mission, right? It protects you from being murdered, but it can't protect you from banishment. Yeah. Guys,
which is the opposite of what it did last year.
So like, oh my God, that's going to really cause... it's like a game within a game. I wouldn't be able to get my head around any of it.
But it's fucking with the traitors.
It's fucking with the traitors.
It is.
Because otherwise they're fucking with everyone. I love that.
So I would imagine they're going to give them opportunities to get a shield in a more discreet way than in the first episode.
Yeah, it was
because in the first episode it was all in the lake. But if you remember, like, there's loads of missions last year where people are gone off in twos and threes and ones, and they're all around the grounds. Like, you can grab a shield on your own.
I cannot wait for the morning where someone comes to breakfast who they think they've murdered, and they're like, surprise bitch.
So last guys, night, let's talk about the challenge for a second, guys. It was Kyra, Harry and Jazz. They have the shield, so they can't be murdered. Well, obviously Harry can't because he's a feckin' traitor. Who do you think is the fourth traitor? If you have just one name.
Diane.
Miles.
I think the fella that does the weights,
Andrew. Yeah. Although they did a little shot of the fourth traitor walking last night from the back with the cloak on, and Miles is a tall, broad man, and it did not look like a tall, broad man. So it could well be a woman.
Yeah. And they did kind of, Diane was front and centre, and then she kind of, they didn't show her as much towards the end. That made me think.
And she said one thing sitting on a chair where she grinned. She was like, oh, you never know when a traitor could be listening.
Yeah.
And then she smirked, and I was like, oh, it's definitely you.
You think it's her.
Do you think, guys, because last year we had two people that went in there and it was unearthed that they were actually in a relationship.
Yes.
Do we think that anybody knows each other?
Yeah.
Potentially.
And if so, who? My theory is there are two veterinary nurses in there. And I just wonder, that is it's not a unique job, but out of 21 people to have two veterinary nurses, I just wonder now.
And is Miles one of those? Practice? Is Miles one of the vets?
And then a woman called Evie.
So Miles went, oh, you know, it's not as glamorous as everyone thinks it is. And I was like, would we have categorized veterinary nursing as glamorous? I would imagine, like, you've got your hand up a cow's backside.
Yeah, I wouldn't have thought
He was like,
it's a great job. It's a great job. It wouldn't
not
scream
glamour.
Glamour.
It doesn't scream Jill Bigelow and a blow dry.
No.
It doesn't. That's an unusual one.
He was like, it's not as glamorous as you might think. Like, I didn't think it was.
So guys, tonight we're going to find out who the fourth traitor is, and we're going to find out who the first victim will be as well. The first person murdered.
Yeah. And I guess, like,
what a night.
I mean, I would have no idea who's going to get murdered first. Unless they don't choose Diane as a traitor, she could be the first one to be killed.
I hate that, though, because she's so iconic that you'd be so devo to lose
her. She looks really familiar.
Oh my God, I'd stick Diane in the secret room that I've made up in my head.
What secret room?
The one that I think when you pull on candlestick, then the wall opens, and then she's in there and she's deciding on shields or something, you know?
Right.
Well, maybe that's the plan with the producers, because obviously we didn't get to know anybody last year, but maybe they were like, look, we've really grown icons with this show, so let's give it a couple of nights, and if anyone gets murdered that we really think will drop the ratings, secret room.
Do you know the way they brought people back last year? Diane, someone, if she is killed off in the first episode, they have to bring back.
I
think there's definitely, maybe if two people don't know each other, I feel like someone who's told us that their job is like, oh, ex-army, that their job is actually something else.
There's a lot of,
we're not being told everything. And I think the fact that they're hiding the fourth traitor from us, that the viewers can play along this time, means that there's going to be more of those kind of elements for reveals to happen
people
to us.
People could know each other. I'd say there's definitely two people in there who know each other.
Also, what about
100%. There's three that were in the army as well.
Oh, yeah.
In circles.
In circles. Claudia was like, I don't have enough words to describe the green, what the green boat are doing.
But one of one of the women, I don't know what her name is, she was absolutely fuming. Hold on, I have to get her up. She was fuming that the boat was going in circles.
I know, man. It was really funny.
Big fight back in the castle.
Can we also talk about Claudia's wardrobe? That sweater vest, the tweed jacket, the red gloves, and the soliloquies to camera.
Yeah.
The red glove, guys. Delivery of that final envelope.
How do we feel about Claudia knocking on the bedroom door, speaking to you? Guys. It's very Carrie Bradshaw in season 1 of Sex and the City.
It really
I don't
is.
Know if I
was. Lived for it.
I
oh, Brendan.
Live.
No, you loved it. Come on.
I was watching it with my friend last night and he hasn't seen season 1 and he was like, it's quite camp. And I was like, yes.
Oh my God. Yeah. It really is. And the soundtrack, Gangsta's Paradise.
Oh, the soundtrack is unbelievable.
Insomnia. It was
Faithless, that needle drop of Faithless when the task thing was lighting up during the first mission. I was like, this is gorgeous.
Yeah. Shots of everyone in bed, guys, in their rooms.
Worth every
Sonia knitting with an eye mask on.
What? No. She's asking. She can play both roles.
Yeah. I cried. Andrew in the full nip doing weights.
Oh my God. My fella was like, what is going on? What are you
saying? I loved it. Now, do you think the very end of the mission, I was like, she was like, oh, you have 2 minutes left. And there was a cluster of them in the middle of the lock. Now, if it wasn't the BBC, you'd be like, ah, oh, they fudged the time. But because it's the BBC, it makes you think that they'd be really strict. I don't know, guys. It was very convenient, wasn't it?
And it was the exact same as last year. We were holding our breath till they blew up those wooden rabbits. So, like, no.
Do you remember in the first mission last year, somebody got so stressed they vomited. They threw. Sorry, Rebecca's about to spit water everywhere. Someone got so stressed.
We were in there 20 minutes.
Someone got so stressed in the first mission in season 1, they vomited. They threw up. Imagine vomiting in front of Claudia Winkleman. I'd be so embarrassed.
I would. I'd vomit if someone asked me at breakfast if I was a traitor.
And then poor Aaron had a bloody panic attack at the first round table.
Oh my God, no, believe Aaron at the first round table. Oh, that was so funny.
I feel like your man, Harry, is like this season's Aaron.
Yeah.
Similar vibes.
Yeah.
Do you know, can I tell you an interesting fact about him? I don't know what this means or why I find it so fascinating, but he has 11 siblings.
Wow.
And I just think that's very unique.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you grow up in a big, busy house, I wouldn't underestimate him.
You're like, is there another sibling in the traitors?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I wasn't thinking about that, but now I'm going back
to
everyone.
But also, Hannah, you're right. He's able to manage loads of different personalities.
11 siblings. Yeah. You'd have to be. You're fighting for your life. Yeah. You're fighting for your dinner. Like,
you don't eat.
Do you ever get to? Have you ever spent one-on-one time with your parents? Like, you don't get a second in your house. So, and then he went into the army. That's an interesting background, guys.
He's even though he's young, you can't underestimate him. I think he's someone who's beyond his years, and he's going to do well.
Who was the nice guy that won it last year? Was Kieran.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The group of them won it last year.
Yeah, it was. So Wilf lost.
Oh, sorry, spoiler alert,
minute.
Jesus.
Yeah. Ah, for God's sake.
Yeah, like Meryl and a few others all. There was like three or four of them, wasn't it?
Yeah. Who's that guy that did it for his mom? Aaron. He reminds me of Harry. Let me look him up. Aaron. Was that Aaron? Aaron. Oh, yeah. Kieran was the older guy. Yeah, Aaron. Okay.
Kieran was a parting gift.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh my God, yes, that was so good. Oh, okay.
So good.
So guys, we're going to find out tonight who
the fourth
traitor
is.
And who's going to be killed.
And I just feel like this series is going to be more twisty and turny. Like, I'd say there could be a case where, like, the four original traitors, like, we could have a complete new set of traitors before the end of the series. Yeah. I'd say it's going to change that much.
It is. And if they keep getting voted out too early, they're going to have to, maybe they'll get someone in the secret room to choose other ones. Do you know, yeah. you don't.
You're mad for a secret room.
I hope she gets it now. She talked about it so much. We did a poll, guys. So we're we're not really live tweeting, but we're on Twitter during the time the traitors is on. Because this is very new direction for us. We've never done a reality show. Nope. We need to build the audience. So we did a poll. Who do you think the fourth traitor is? And the results are in, okay? In last place is Andrew with 9.4% of the votes.
I think it's him.
Well, that's a unique perspective you're coming in with, Reb. In third place, it's the icon herself, Sonia, with 13.4% of the votes.
Right.
In second place, it's my guy Miles, 33.9%, and coming out on top, a lot of people think they went for Diane, 43.3% of the vote.
Yeah. I feel like Diane would be great. She's just going to have to play a really big game now because she has been very suspicious, you know. But then I suppose a faithful would be suspicious, so she could keep going with that. That's interesting, Hannah. So most people think it is Diane.
Yeah, Diane, and then otherwise Miles.
Saw a really funny tweet from somebody called at Hussy by name, and they said, my major issue with being a traitor is that I'd have to stay up later than all of the faithfuls, and that would be me. I'm like, I need to go to bed.
I'd be worried that I'd be okay. Say, guys, say we were in there and the three of us were traitors. I'd be like, I'll see you later.
My dream.
I'm worried. I'd be like, I'll see you later, and everyone would be like, what do you mean you'll see you later? Like
later at breakfast.
Me getting in the car to go back to the B&B.
Individual lodgings. Yeah, the Premier Inn, pet.
Oh my God. I would honestly pay money to see the individual lodgings because I feel like they're not anyway like the rest.
No, definitely not.
Guys, well, we have here some of your thoughts and theories that you sent in to us to at ShrinePod on social and to shrinepodcast.com with lovely voice notes. First up, Johnny emailed us, right? shrinepod@gmail.com. Johnny says, hey chaps, I'm so excited for the pod. Just a little message to say I'm already obsessed. And my partner said that I was talking in my sleep last night saying I'm 100% faithful. Hilarious. So Johnny says, I'm obsessed with Diane and the way she figured out a traitor within 2 seconds. Thank you so much for keeping on with the podcast. Sarah's been on, right? Sarah says, so hoping Diane has been picked as the fourth traitor. If she hasn't, she will rumble them all. I've refrained from watching the next episode as I want to listen to the podcast.
Thank you, Sarah.
Thank you. Wayne says, Diane is terrifying. If the traitors have any sense, they'll murder her as soon as possible. Here's hoping they don't.
She's very stern.
Oh, yeah.
She's a retired teacher, guys. Oh, she's got those scary teacher vibes.
Yeah.
Or is she? Craig says Andrew is the fourth traitor. He's too jacked and too much of an easy target to take the heat off the original three.
Don't judge a book by its cover, Pat. No. 2024.
Terry Plimmer, friend of the podcast since the early days, says Aubrey. He's very astute. He's shaping up to be the waspish John of this series.
Oh my God, John. Oh my vicious. God.
Who was John?
John was the vicious Scottish man. Oh, he was vicious is the only word I can use.
He called vicious. Someone called me vicious, I'd be so offended.
Do you not remember how vicious he was?
No, he was.
Yeah, he was nasty to Aaron.
First, sorry, this is what Terry went on to
I've
say.
Googled him and yes, he was vicious.
Vicious.
Yeah, great TV. First, Terry says, three traitors may as well be walking around with signs on.
Yeah.
They don't seem particularly ready at keeping undercover. Emma says, Paul is giving me Wilf vibes. I'm unsure about Ash so far. Harry seems clever, but he could end up cracking under the pressure. Diane is our Northern Irish queen. And obviously, I'm obsessed with Claudia.
Yes.
This is the best reality show on TV. And I'm delighted that you guys are podcasting about it.
It's
Thank you so
good,
much,
Emma.
Rosa says, the fourth traitor is definitely a man. She says the cloaked figure looked way too big and bulky to be dainty Diane. I think this will turn out to be a bad move from the other three as Diane is onto them already. And I also saw a tweet from a fellow named Aaron who wrote, he didn't write to us. He just wrote in general to the abyss. He says, please stop putting shows online before they air on TV. I've everything muted and I'm still fighting for my life all morning to try and avoid spoilers for the traitors. I won't click the hashtag.
No, well, luckily for us and everyone, I think only the first three are being put up on iPlayer. And then after that, it's only one a night on TV. It's not on the internet ahead of time.
It ruins it.
Everyone knows how we feel about this. Rebecca's done many a monologue during Vigil, our coverage of Vigil. But like, I have not been using Twitter because it became this horrible cesspit that man took over it and changed the name. But I went back on last night and I just had so much fun because when you follow a hashtag like hashtag traitors, it's just a warm community of people. Yeah. You know, it's a safe, happy place. There's so many funny people. There's so many good memes. There's so many good theories that I just had a ball being on again. And I'm like, you only get this when we all sit down together and unite in a world that needs to be united by television and a nice distraction with not that many, you know, it's not that important, but it's fun and I loved it and I just want us all to do that together. It's nothing even to do with the podcast. No. I just liked being online with everyone and reading the funnies.
It's the best. Listen, fingers crossed now they just do, you know, it on the TV and leave it at that. Finally today, I don't know what time this is.
What time is it? What time are you listening?
Finally today.
At whatever time you're listening.
We've got in this voice note to shrinepodcast.com from Charlotte.
Love the traitors. So excited for its return. Guess I've got kind of a question and an observation. So I love the clips of the contestants as they're getting ready for bed. When Andrew was pumping his iron, I thought, that was funny enough. But then when, what's the lady's name? Is it Sonia? When it cut to her doing her knitting with a face mask on, eye mask, should I say, in bed, I creased. I thought, what a queen. So it just got me thinking, what would my, activities be that I'd allow them to film for TV to be on the traitors? So yeah, what would your guys' skills be if you were on The Traitors?
Before bed.
That's a listener question.
I'd probably have like an LED mask on listening to a Meditation Oasis podcast. I don't think that would translate very well, but that's what I'd be doing.
You'd have a mask. You would. I see
you'd have a mask on and I'd be listening to a meditation tape.
So your activity would be having a sit and a sheet.
That's very glamorous.
Sheet mask, yeah. LED mask.
What about you?
Well, they're probably not going to let us watch TV or scroll on our phones, so I'll probably read a book.
Oh yeah, lovely. What book would you be reading?
I'm reading Strange Sally Diamond at the moment.
Strange Sally Diamond.
So I think I'd bring that on, or I might actually peruse my bookshelf and try and bring something on that like has a clue about me, if anyone like looks deeper into it, like escape room vibes, maybe something like that.
Hannah, let us know what you think of Strange Sally Diamond.
I'm traumatized is what I think. I thought it was really lovely and now I've got to the traumatized bit. So
it's page turn,
that's really good.
It's a page turner. Once you get through the horror, but I'm really enjoying it. I think
It's very good.
Reb, what would yours be?
I think I'd be consulting my
the cards. Reb,
of course.
I think I'd be sitting in a robe, maybe velvet, maybe sheer, with a little fluffy sleeve, and I would be turning over my tarot cards, and a crystal ball would be getting a rub.
And you know what, Rebecca, you'd be all over Twitter. That screenshot, you'd be icon status straight away and everyone would be dying to know what you think.
I am really interested on that point to see the clairvoyant in action now this series.
The clairvoyant sonographer. Ex-Air Forces. What a past is that? I wonder, can she guess the gender of your child before the 20-week scan?
Before she scans.
Well, probably. Imagine she turns out to be really good at sussing people out.
I love it. I love it. I'm so obsessed.
Yeah, it's just absolutely amazing. Hannah, you are now going to chat about a few dark horses, you think, among the cast.
Yeah, so I have read, it's an actual brilliant article that the BBC have up on their media centre where they've done, so we saw snippets of Claudia's interviews with all of the 21 contestants. So they've basically written out the full answers. Everybody gets the same 5 or 6 questions and it's a good hour long read, but I think it's brilliant intel into everyone. So I've just taken a few that I think are ones to watch, will really stand out answers, and then I've done a few honourable mentions. Now these may change over the series, but I'm starting off with Andrew, who is our 45-year-old insurance broker from Talbot Green. Is that in London?
I don't know.
Talbot Green.
Don't know.
Right, someone can tell us. So he's the kind of like really fit guy. We saw him lifting weights with his top off.
Oh no, he's Welsh.
Yeah, he's Welsh.
He's from Wales.
Right, so that's in Wales. A million billion apologies to everyone. Okay, so he's really, really fit. Interesting background. So he had a big road accident. He was actually pronounced dead. He was in a coma for a number of weeks. He was told he would never walk again. And he is back to like a pretty peak level of fitness. So he is a real empath. He says people really open up to him. And he's going in with this mental health focus. So he's going
Welsh
into-
accent. I'd open up to a Welsh accent.
Yeah, and I think just the background that he's had, like, I mean, the man died and came back to life. Like, essentially, that is what happened.
Great
and
story.
I think it's a great story, and I think people feel like they can open up to him. So I think that's a really great skill set to have in there. His drive is also to make a better life for his family, and he wants to win that money. He would ideally love to set up a gym with a physical and mental health focus. So like really connecting the two. And I just think people are going to underestimate him as a bit of like a beefcake. And I just think he's one to watch. I think that's a very interesting background with a very interesting skill set that he's bringing to the table. So that's Andrew. Next up is Anthony. He's also 45. Now, we're sleeping on Anthony because the man is a chess coach and the Traders is a game of chess. Oh, so I am fascinated by him. He's from Birmingham. He's really, really good at managing his emotions. He has not thought about the money once. So when Claudia asked him in the extended interview, what would you do with the money? He's like, that's not how I go into these chess tournaments. I go into win and I'll deal with that after. He's the only person that gave that answer, which I think is interesting.
Yeah.
And he says his game plan is all about timing. So he's going to be adaptable. So one minute he might be your best friend. The next minute he might throw someone under the bus. He's kind of doing the Wilfred thing of like constantly changing and reacting to the players that are on the board.
He's not willing to grab a shield in the first episode.
Yeah.
No, and I really hope he stays in for a while because I think having a chess coach in this game is really fascinating. He also said, quote, everybody is expendable. So he will just knock players off the board. Next up in our ones to watch is Diane. So we love her. She's a 63-year-old retired teacher from Lancashire. Really interesting answers to the questions, guys.
She's from Lancashire. Wow.
From Lancashire.
Yeah.
She said straight out she did not want to be a trader. No interest. Wants to be a faithful. Thinks she will be rubbish at being a trader. Actually, one of the least confident interviews. There's a lot of people that are in there that I'm a great liar. I'm really fit. I'm this, I'm that.
She's kind of... A lot of people say that. And then, you know, when push comes to shove, they can't.
Yeah, she was like, I'll be okay. I'll be all right at that. I don't want to be a trader. Like, just a very different vibes than what's coming across. I thought that was interesting.
I couldn't figure out her accent.
Lancashire, but she must have moved.
Yeah.
She has experience working with, quote, very difficult kids. That was the type of work she did. And I think that's interesting because that gives you a certain level of control, empathy, patience, understanding. She also says that she will use, her game plan is to use humour to her benefit. So I think a lot of the looks that she is serving, frankly, are actually kind of tongue-in-cheek.
Sorry, I loved in the breakfast room when she was like, we don't all need to hug each other.
I forgot.
I didn't
know what I mean.
That.
She's a sarcastic queen.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Miles, who I am intrigued by, he's a 36-year-old veterinary nurse from Birmingham.
Or is he?
He says he's good at lying and good at spotting a liar. And that was one of the most straight, confident answers to that question. He says people underestimate him. I think he's very likable. I think he gives leader qualities. And he says he'll do what he needs to do, but he'll do it with balance. And I think that's what got Wilf so far. So yeah. He was a nice guy, but if someone had to go, he would just get that done. Then my last two. So I did actually put Paul in our ones to watch. Now listen to this, right? He's a 36-year-old business manager from Manchester, but he has a past in stand-up comedy. And I just think stand-up was one of the hardest things to do. I think you have to be so confident but so self-deprecating. I think you have to have a really good read on people and life, and I think there's really something psychological in being confident enough that your humour will, like, carry to a room.
Yeah.
So I just think that's very interesting.
Was Paul the one that when they were chatting on the train about what they do and who they are, he said that he worked, like, something to do with, like, IT or tech or sales. Something. He's like, but I'm just in the sales part. He really belittled what he did. And I was like, that's not the department you work in. I can fucking smell it off you.
Yeah.
That's not what you do.
Some other interesting facts. Like us, he's obsessed with escape rooms.
Oh, yeah.
So he's been training.
Literally done one.
Yeah. One.
Like, I was so over and bad at it.
He says, when Claudia touches my shoulder, which I thought was very confident, and he said, when Claudia touches my shoulder, I'm never washing again.
Fair.
And his game plan is, and I thought this was very interesting because nobody said it, is to focus on the missions. So his whole plan is to be so necessary during those missions.
Yeah.
In terms of physicality and winning, that they will not get rid of him.
Wilf,
and I thought that's
to do that.
Very interesting.
Wilf used to get really involved and try really hard and all. So then people, like, it makes you like them more because then you're like, oh, they really are a good team player.
Oh, Rebecca's going to bag us 15 grand here. Don't murder her.
And I think that's good. You have to think like that. So he says you have to come across genuine and open, and he really admires Hannah from season one for that. And I think she was great. She really flew under the radar. And then my last one to watch, of course, one of the most fascinating people in there, it's Sonia. She's 66. Now, she's a volunteer business mentor. She's also, guys, asterisk this, from Lancashire. Who else is 66 and from Lancashire?
Sonia.
Diane. Well, she's 63. I'm putting years on her. But, you know, they're in a very similar age bracket.
Are they siblings?
Maybe they're in a knitting circle together. I'm just interested in that now. So Sonia's game plan, no joke, quote unquote, is to knit her way to the final. But listen to this. She had a 41-year-old non-verbal autistic son who only died 2 years ago. And she went into really interesting detail about the fact that he is non-verbal and that she had 41 years experience reading his cues. Absolutely fascinating. Wow. She can get a lot more serious than she lets on. She's very motivated by her son. Wow. She knows that she's going to be a big presence in there, but I think that will have people underestimate her. She is a business mentor.
Well, then, if Ash choking on her croissant wasn't obvious enough, if Sonia is even better at picking up nonverbal cues than we are, she's like, Ash, you're a bloody traitor.
I think she'd be a brilliant person to recruit. She's very motivated by her son and she's very used to complex negotiations and work. Like, she's a mentor. So she's coming in to business scenarios and helping people navigate difficult things. So I think that's fascinating.
Hannah, all your insights there are brilliant because you just get to know people a bit more. And
I think it's so important.
But also what you said about, is it Paul, the ginger fella who's the traitor? You know, what your observation of that's very interesting because I would have thought that because he's a stand-up comedy past, is that he just went in all talk being like, I'm going to be a great traitor. And then he actually just wants a bit of screen time and he's actually not going to be any good at all.
So I would have thought that if he wasn't working as a business manager now. Yeah. So if they sent him in and his job was stand-up comedian, I'd be like, he did it in the past. I don't think he does it anymore. So I'm like, that's a really interesting combination of person.
It is. And the thing I love about this show so much is that people have so many layers and you just don't know what way it's going to go and the secrets people are hiding.
And I think that it's deliberately being produced and designed that it's going to be even more unpredictable, twisty and turny over the next 4 weeks. Thank you for watching along with us.
Brendan, I've got some tiny quick honourable mentions, right? I'm not going into detail, but just a few bullet points, okay? Aubrey He wanted to be a traitor because he loves cloaks. Okay. So we just need to just keep an eye on that. But he also plans to fall in with the pack, which I think is a great plan. Harry went into immense detail about having no fears, but then said if a spider crawled on him, he'd flip out. So I think that is a fear, pet. Johnny, who is ex-army, he lost a leg in Afghanistan, I think he said.
Yeah,
he had even gone as far as watching the Dutch version for research. Like, he is coming in prepped.
Yeah.
Molly, she plans to make as many friends as possible and deflect attention. Now, I think that's
deflect
interesting.
Deflect attention away from you for a while to try and
deflect.
Or the radar will last longer sometimes.
Tracy, the clairvoyant, she was asked what she's going to bring to the game, and she did not mention that she is psychic or that she is clairvoyant, that none of those skills will be brought to the game by her, which I thought was fascinating. But I think it's interesting that she used to be in the Air Forces. She's ex-army.
Yeah.
She's an stenographer, clairvoyant, ex-army.
What a CV.
Wow.
And just a last honourable mention for Zach, who is a parliamentary affairs advisor, and I just think politics... Plus
yeah,
this game.
True.
Interesting.
True.
Interesting.
True.
They're all my honourable mentions. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Hannah. That was an incredible roundup of all of the contestants. Right. We are so excited to watch how this develops over the next 4 weeks. 3 episodes a week. Thank you for watching along with us and listening to our podcast the day after. If there's anyone you know that's a fan of The Traitors, please copy the link, Spotify, Apple, wherever you are, to our podcast. Open your WhatsApp, send it to them, and tell anyone you think that would like The Traitors and our podcast to get involved, watch it on TV, and then listen to us. We will be back with you after tomorrow as well, after tonight's episode. We're back tomorrow.
Yes.
After tonight's episode, and the same after every episode of The Traitors is out. You can contact us with all of your thoughts and theories. As you know, we love a voice note now. Shrinepodcasts.com is our website. Go on there. There's a big fat link. You press on it and you can send us a voice note. We'd love to hear from you. You can also still DM us. We are at ShrinePod, or email us shrinepod@gmail.com. We will be back tomorrow, forever faithful.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.